All right,
What is that?
so we're in a new month, a special month, a very, very powerful month, as every month is in its potential. But this month is the month called Shvat, whose acronym is the acronym, the Rashi Tevot, when you take apart, the actual word, it could break up into various meanings. So the acronym for Shvat is Shenitbaser Psorot Tovot. May we be given over and be said over, receive good tidings. And who is called the person who brings the ultimate good tidings? Mevaser Tov, Zachur Latov, the one that gives over the good. That's Eliyahu HaNavi Zachur Latov. That Eliyahu HaNavi is the one that brings the good news. And the whole idea of the good news of the month, what is the good news of the month? We're going to try to get into that, because obviously the good news, the ultimate good news, and especially the news that Eliyahu is the one that's going to bring, is the big news, not like a little breaking, this happened or that. We're like, give me the full caboodle, the whole thing. Bring it home. And we're bringing it home with Eliyahu HaNavi Zachor Latov. And I think he may have just walked in. Elijah. Wow, is it you? We've been waiting for you. You could pass for Elijah. All
Sure.
right, but you're Shmuel, holy Shmuel. Okay, so
It's okay if I'm here just for 15
a
minutes or
hundred
so.
percent, 100%. We'll clock
Okay.
you. We'll. So the month itself is very auspicious. It's very connected to good that's about to ensue, that's about to come into the world. And it starts off with the beginning of the month and the middle of the month, where we know the two big headquarters of the month is the beginning of the month, the new moon, and the full moon. Those are the two big moments of the month where at the beginning of the month, it's in its point of potentiality. And in the middle of the month, it's already completely full and it's already there. And at the beginning of the month, according to Beit Shammai, according to the opinion of Beit Shammai, is the new year of the trees, where the ecosystem essentially becomes replenished, becomes rejuvenated, that the sap goes and that the sap gets the good news, if we have to put it that way, that the mevaser tov, that the good news are going, the trees are feeling it in their being, according to Beit Shammai, and its potential, like right there and now is when the sap is now causing change, and all new things that are going to happen in the subsequent year are happening now. And according to Beit Hillel, in the full moon is when that happens. So, but regardless of this, the difference of opinion, the point is that the ecosystem, that the trees, that the unknown, that what we take for granted as being just nature, is continuously being replenished every single second. Every single day, we say, but every single second, there's a replenishment of all of existence that comes from nothingness, we call it, but it's really the ultimate somethingness. And it create and it makes the somethingness, which is really the nothingness, exist. And it exists only because of the continuous enlivening. Ve'ata mechaya et kulam. You give life constantly to creation, and it had creation not stopped for a moment, then we would not feel, we would not exist. And the closest one of the four elements that we have that brings us to that awareness, to that existence, is what we call the koach hatzomeach, the power of the vegetative, of the ecosystem. Because we've got the inanimate, that of course we look at the inanimate and there's nothing there. But according to the Arizal, there's life force, there's sparks of godliness in everything, including a rock. Right, and we know that from physics as well, but we don't see that in the tangible eye, right? And then we go to the animal kingdom, and the animal kingdom, you could say, okay, the mother gave birth to it, but then it didn't, but we don't see, right? And then the human, like we could get the most confused because we're like, we made ourselves. We're so smart that we actually created like Pharaoh came to that realization that he completely banished, right? And thought that he was an idolatry. And that could happen because of our human fickle brain that, right, that doesn't understand who made who, like where do we actually come from. But the closest one of the elements that brings us the awareness that there's life, continuous life all the time, is what? Our beautiful ecosystem, our beautiful world that Hashem has created. Thank you, Hashem, for creating such a beautiful existence, such a beautiful world. And we go out into nature, we know that all the tzaddikim, the holy Baal Shem Tov, love going into nature, because in nature is where you could feel elokus, you could feel godliness. The masks aren't there as much. You go out and you see where creation comes from and how it's connected to its source, just like a tree is connected to its source. And it's constantly being revitalized. And the month of Shvat has this paradigm of the receiving and then the being. And I call this class specifically the month of Shvat, the secret of flow. And the reason why that we're going to discuss this concept of flow and how it relates to the month of Shvat is that flow is very much needed in our lives. And I'll soon discuss what flow actually means according to psychology. But how does that relate to the month of Shvat? So every month has its particular energy. If we have to, you know, we could think about what the month means, the holidays that are in the month. But then when we want to really identify with the month, we have to close our eyes and we have to like really feel like what is the energy of this month? What is the heart of the month really telling me, right? What am I actually receiving from this month?
In one word?
Yeah.
Rejuvenation.
I like that. Okay, beautiful. Welcome. So what do we get from this month? And if we have to like really lean into it, it's something that I was meditating today on specifically. On what does the month mean to me on a body in an embodied way in my body, not just in my mind, not just in my, but how do I actually feel it, right? And it's a new way of connecting. It's a new way of being, because you know the Torah is meant to be learned. It's meant to be. We're supposed to believe. We're supposed to feel. But then we're really supposed to live it. Right? Live Kabbalah, right? We're supposed to live it, but we're supposed to feel it, and it's supposed to be a part of us in our experience, in our human experience, in our day-to-day experience. That's really what it's all about. So how did I get to flow in the month of Shvat? So first of all, what does flow mean? Okay? What does flow mean? So there was a famous psychologist called Mihai, don't ask me how to spell his name. I don't think anyone knows, not even him, but it's a Hungarian, long name. It's like 20 letters or something. And it's like Csikszentmihalyi, and that's how you pronounce it. And he has like a TED talk, and he has a number of famous books. He's a behavioral psychologist that studied the science of flow. And he was a student of Carl Jung. And he basically, after hundreds and hundreds of interviews with with top performers, with sports athletes, with entrepreneurs who are CEOs and of different companies. He tried to figure out what is your base of satisfaction? Like, where are you really happy? Because you're studying like happiness. Like, what really makes a person happy? And he came to the conclusion that it's when we are in our flow state. And it's a fascinating, it's a whole book. I didn't read the book, but I've studied about it because I think it's fascinating. And he essentially gives six main components to what makes flow, a part of our human existence. And not to get into the particulars of each and every one per se, but he says that it must be challenging, right? To have what we call a sipuk, a satisfaction, you need to be challenged. And then he says that it needs to be innately motivating. Like you're innately motivated to do this. You need to be in the moment as you're doing this. And the way he describes it, and he actually says that after interviewing hundreds of people, he says that they reach a place of ecstasy in their mind. And it doesn't matter if they're in sports or they're in business or but they reach a place that they're able to go beyond their normal brain wavelength, we could say, that they're operating now in a place that is just transcendent of them while being very grounded. So, and he says it's like you're emotionally connected as well as in your action level. So on both levels, where you are in your action, you're doing, but yet you're emotionally connecting to it. You're there as you're doing it. It's not like your mind is thinking about something else. You're there. You're in the moment. And then, very interestingly, he has a certain graph where he charts the challenge, and then our abilities. So we have our abilities, whatever they are, our ability. So take sports, for example. A person has certain natural athletic capabilities up to a certain point. Could you say that a person could run faster than they could? They could lift weight more than they could? Mm-hmm. That's dangerous, right? So you have to know, but then there's the challenge. So you're basically not bored, because if you're doing less than what you can be doing, you're lifting less weights than you could be lifting, then you're basically bored. You're not, and you're not really doing anything, And yet, if you're overdoing, then you reach a place of anxiety. You reach a place of alertness. He calls it. But he says that there's this flow, and that we want to be basically in the middle. That the flow state is being in the perfect sweet spot of the challenge and our abilities. When we're able to find that place, well, to stay grounded is also sometimes like where we say we don't want to push ourselves because we want to say, I want to stay grounded. Whereas sometimes to really reach your abilities, you have to not be grounded. Like you like to go to the next level in sports or in business or in art, you have to be crazy. You have to take a step. You can't be too crazy, but you have to go beyond yourself, right? And that level of the challenge of not necessarily being grounded, but yet not being flighty, right? It's like this balance. It's not grounded, but it's not flight. It's like being like right there in the middle makes an extraordinary individual. And he says that's the person that is living in the moment, person that's living in the flow. And he says that extraordinary athletes do it, artists, business people, who are connected to their mission in their business. They're not just externally there just to make money. They're doing what they're doing because of a passion, because of a change that they see that they can be having. And he says that's the flow. That's it. I remember, you know, learning this years ago and like thinking about this of like, you know, that's a brilliant and really just very accurate description of what it means to be happy. Like, because in Judaism, we're not always happy, like always like 100% happy. Like, you know,
Sometimes
you know,
but he always wants more.
But yeah, but we want more, right? But then at the same time, you know, you look at the Shlemiel and you look at the comics that come from the difficult places, and they're able to make light and fun and happy within the dark situation, within the situation that they're in. They are finding that place. And so there's many words for joy in Hebrew, but really a level of content that one has inside is this level of being in the flow. And that's very much an equilibrium that we want to get to. And we get to that place of inner joy, that it's not necessarily what's going on the outside. It's what's happening on the inside that is governing the joy. The joy is not because of someone giving me an ice cream, which I'll be very happy to get, whatever, or to receive the other thing. But like, I'm actually happy because I am. And my I am is basically God's I am, in a sense, on the real flow, where our human experience becomes the godly experience, and we merge with Hashem's will. Make my will your will, and your will my will. So how do we make our will Hashem's will?
I am. I never heard. I'm sure you're right, but I don't understand. If
what do you mean?
In Hasidus, the whole idea is bitul. So
yeah,
I am.
I am because my I is Hashem's.
So you're saying I am. I am not.
But I still feel myself, and I'm still my ego. But yet my ego is Hashem's. When we get out of we always have our ego. It's not something that we could say we don't have. We have our ego, but then we utilize our ego with what God wants. And therefore the my I is really given over to Hashem's I. And that's being in the flow with Hashem, being in the flow with God. When we do his will, we make his will our will and our will his will.
Like Albert Einstein said, the way that I don't become depressed from success is to be so busy that I can't have time to hear anything that they're saying about me.
Right, because it's not about you, and it's not about what people are saying. You're saying Albert Einstein was you know, he focused on what he had to do because he didn't focus on what people were saying. He was doing his work. He was doing his job. And truth is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says about him in the Gemara. In Brachos, it says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, he was about to die, and he said, I'm not sure which way they're going to take me, to heaven or to the other department. And the question is, like, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saved the entire Jewry, saved the entire Torah. And like, he didn't stop teaching and learning. What is the thought that he would be taken to the other side? And the answer that's given is that he never thought about that. It never crossed his mind during his lifetime while he was doing, because he was doing, so he wasn't thinking about himself receiving something and going here. He was just flowing. He was doing Hashem's will. So when he had this like respite and he was on his deathbed, he was basically saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be. And because his lifetime was just filled with just being in the flow. So he wasn't thinking about him. He was thinking about Hashem. So how does this relate to this beautiful holy month that we're in right now, Shvat? The month of Shvat is compared to the bucket, to the dli. And actually, it says that there ain mazal Israel, that Israel has no mazal, has no constellations. We're above the constellations. We're beyond the zodiac. That's what the Talmud says. Right? It says ain mazal. But then another explanation is ayin mazal Israel, that the ayin, that the ein sof, that the infinite is our mazal, is our constellation. That really it's the ayin, it's the ein sof, is our reality, right? The fact that we're still here, the fact that you know, after thousands of years and continuously we're here and continuously will be here, you know, right? It just takes a little bit of like looking at the history to see who the Jewish people are, and how, of course, history repeats itself, and how at the end we prevail, Hashem prevails. Because Ein Mazal Yisrael, the Ein Sof is our mazal. The Ein Sof is our constellation. That's who we really are. It says, but yet there's one of the 12 constellations, which is the closest one. If we had to like pick one, that's the closest. So, you know, which one would you say? You may say like Nisan, Aries, or Tishrei is a big one, or Kislev, or whatever. But it's brought down in the Sfarim, in the books. It says that which one is it? It's actually this month, Shvat. It's the month that actually Moses started to say the entire Torah in 70 languages for the next 37 days. He started to repeat. So Moshe is the epitome of the Torah, of the receiving. He's the complete nothingness, right? And yet he's the one that speaks God's words, and he says, I am, but it's not I am. It's God's I am that's coming through Moshe's mouth. And Moshe repeats the Torah in 70 languages during these 37 days, because the 7th of Adar is when Moshe passed. So starting from the 1st of Shvat, he started to say the Torah in 70 languages. He repeated the Torah. So the month of Shvat is the closest one that is our, what we call mazal, our constellation. Why is that? Because it's the mazal, the constellation of it, is the bucket, the dli. And the dli represents what? Represents the receiving, the vessel, exactly, the receiving and the giving. That flow, literally flow, right? What does a vessel have to have? A bucket, it needs to have a flow in it. But sometimes it's taken out of this, you know, complete flow, but it's meant to flow, right? Take water and transfer it. But going back to that constellation of the Li, so it very much relates to Moshe, because the daughters of Yitro, of Jethro, they came along to their father. And they said, Ish Mitzri, there's an Egyptian man that helped us out. That's why we're here so fast. So Vegam Dalo Dala Lanu. And he also he took the water from the well and gave our sheep to drink, which is funny because we constantly see this interaction, this romantic interaction by the water, right? And like throughout, right? With Rivka. Right by the water there, and she said, "Yes, Rivka is walking with buckets on her shoulder." Right, and she's like, "Sure, Eliezer, you need water. I'll take for you, and I'll also take for your camels to drink." And Rivka famously is holding on. She's like the mother. Right? And then we have, of course, the interaction with Jacob and Yaakov and Rachel. That Rachel, in the same way, she has this water, and she has the sheep, and Yaakov takes opens up the well and gives Moshe to Tzipora.
Wow.
So we see this li that all of the patriarchs and matriarchs have this connection, have this interchange and connection by the water, by the li. So ein mazal Yisrael. So what's our mazal? Our mazal is like something's happening with the li, that there's this exchange, that it's receiving and it's giving. There's flowing. So Moshe dalo dala lanu. The Moshe, he's known as being that person, right? And what is compared? What is water? What do we compare water to? To the Torah. To the spiritual waters. So on the one hand, it's spiritual, which the month is an air sign. Shvat is technically an air sign, but yet it's connected to the bucket. It's connected to the water, and it has the vessel to it, right? And it's receiving this spiritual flow that's going from the giver to the receiver. And this idea of taking the receiver, the receiver and the giver, this interchange is the interchange of the Ein. Ein Mazal Yisrael. So how do we access the Ein Sof, the nothingness? By being a vessel. And we are a vessel. Right? We are a vessel. But we're very much not aware that we are a vessel. And we think that we're a vessel to eat and drink. We feel that we're a vessel to run after this, you know, and then to run after that, and to be a vessel that's very often not even recognizing itself for being a vessel, because it's either cracked because of circumstances of life, and it may be dirty inside or outside. But regardless, we're vessels. And many times our vessels need to be healed. And the first stage of being this flow and being in this flow is healing the vessel so it can be in the flow. In other words, not thinking that I could do more than I could do, or I don't have to do as much as I need to do because of all types of reasons that either I'm too hard on myself or I'm too easy on myself, right? These two opposites that we basically have. And the first stage is essentially being in this healing ourselves, and healing ourselves means not to heal myself because of my, but healing myself ultimately, or true healing happens when we discover that I want to be healed because I want to do what, right? I am needed for something. I am needed to do something. And whenever someone has hope for something, or there's a mission for what they're doing, as challenging as the mission is, it is the most empowering thing that someone can have. I mean, you look at like what's going on with these like soldiers that are out there in the front line, and God bless them, and want to dedicate like this class to them, and we all pray for them. But to be there like that on the front line, leaving everything that they have and being there, I mean, it's like we look at them and it's like, wow. But why is that? Because they have this mission. They feel this sense of what we call netzach, which is fortitude. They have this like this fortitude, which is courage, which is like, there's a mission. I'm so passionate about the mission. Obviously, they have the strength to accomplish it because they've been training for years and they are in this kind of combat elite type of a thing, but they are in their flow, you could say, you know, in that state, right? Elite warriors like that, or athletes or whatever. And just going back to that analogy, that when we feel the mission and the calling to do something, then as challenging as it is, right? Again, not beyond our capabilities, but the challenge doesn't mean that it's not a good thing. Just the opposite. It means that it is a good thing. Depends. It can't be too challenging, but if it is, but it needs to be challenging on whatever level, because that means that then empowers us to then want to utilize our abilities, which is the analogy of the vessel of the bucket, right? That the vessel is now able to receive and is able to accomplish what it is meant to accomplish, and it's coming from this empowered feeling, this empowered sense that it receives. So the Dli is a receiver, and you can't pour too much in it though. And that's the idea of the measurement of it, where the challenge and the ability have to be balanced. You can't put in too much water, because remember, if you're going to walk like down the block with a full cup of hot tea or coffee, or it's going to spill all over the place. So how much do you want to put in? It's the balance of it. So that balance and that harmony that we reach is also very much connected to Moshe, because Moshe is considered that place of the middle column, which is harmony, which is Da'at. Da'at and Tiferet of Zer Anpin, right? Of the six sides, where Moses is basically this middle column energy. And the middle column energy is not too much of Chesed, not too much blue, not too much left, which is Gevurah, right? And it's the middle column. And we know that Yaakov and Moshe are of the same column. Okay. That the Zohar says that Yaakov is on the outside, Moshe is on the inside. Yaakov levar, Moshe legav. That Moshe and Yaakov are the same, basically the same soul in a sense, the same personality. Yaakov is the middle column, and Moshe is the middle column, which is the spirit of harmony. Mm-hmm. Where we take that's tiferet, and that's da'at. That's internalizing a concept by understanding it, it not being too abstract for us, while not being too concrete, where it's just like informational. It's identified as a concept, but it's a graspable concept, which is felt. And that's that. That is the concept is felt. It's circulated around my mind, around my heart, because it descends down to the middle column. And then it actually becomes embodied within me. And that's that, of like actually living it and embracing it, bringing it into ourselves, which goes back to the idea of that we started off with, that Shvat is nitbaser psorot tovot. That nitbaser is the letters basar, which means flesh. So what is good news, right? Shmua tova tedashen atzem. That says good news has the ability to make the foot or our bodies even expand, our physicality expand, because the ultimate of the good news is that it's able to really be on the level of basar, nitbaser, from the word basar, that it goes into our flesh, like it says when Mashiach comes, right? That who's going to see godliness? Not the mind and not just the heart, but that the flesh is going to experience Hashem, experience godliness. And this month, right? This month is this month of, it's the spirituality that we're receiving, but it's not just going in there, it's going all the way down into ourselves. And then we're able to now bring it out to others. And because that's the dli, that's the bucket, and that's ein, and that's being in the flow, where we take that flow of nitbaser so and we take it and we give it, and we're a channel for it, where that is the essence of really who we are, because we're conductors. We're not about ourselves, right? We're conductors of Hashem in this world. We're activating each other. We're activating, we're being activated by each other, by tzaddikim, are helping to activate us. There's many tzaddikim who have died during this month that are very, very high powered. Just tonight, we have the lula of Reb Zusha of Anipoli, on the 4th of Shvat, we have the Baba Sali, who, God willing, on the way to for Shabbat to go visit there, to be there for Shabbat. So we'll have you all in mind. So to be activated by tzaddikim, right, like that, is yes, we become activated, and then we activate, and we're this bucket, which is this flow, this godly flow, and this circuit of godly energy, which is circulating really around the world, right, all together. And that's why the special tribe of the month is Asher. Asher is the letters Rosh, which means the head, but it also has the same letters as, it means Asher. Asher is Kiish, to approve. And it's actually something which is very physical. And it's one of the holy names, holy permutations of 501, which is Asher, which is a very important number in Kabbalah, and the tribe of Asher is actually the eighth of the tribes, which is the above nature, which is kind of like this circular energy, right? Almost like this bucket of like above to down and up in the number eight. And Me'asher Shmena Lachmo, Shmena, everything was fatty in the place that they lived, because because Asher Mishmena is fatty, comes from the word Shamen, which is Shmone, which is number eight. And and why is that? Because their ancestral tribal land, not far from here, was filled with olives, right? Vitovel, right? Piki'in, and all the way the Galilee, the Western Galilee, is filled with oil. And what's oil? Oil is Shemona, the number eight, right? It's, and we light with it. And Me'asher Shmena Lachmo. And it says about the tribe of Asher that their daughters married the high priests, right? That there was something exceedingly beautiful about the daughters on a spiritual level, on a physical level, that they merited to have this connection of that the Asher women, there had their grandchildren being the high priests because of this, like this connection or this paradox of, on the one hand, being very, very high, like the head, Rosh. But on the other hand, from the word to approve and to be, and asher means to actually to very much to be, you know, and I kind of get that a lot with oil. Like when you put oil, like in any olive oil specifically, you put it in any dish, it just tastes good. Like you put olive oil in your salad, right? You throw on a little bit of salt and you just, right? It's like, you can't, yeah, you can't go wrong with it. And it basically takes the entire dish, whatever food that you have, that oil over there, and it just gives it its somethingness, doesn't it? Like without oil, you don't have the moisture, you don't have the somethingness of it. It's like a flat, whatever it is that you're cooking or whatever it is that you're, you know, frying for sure, but like it's a no-go. So the oil, it adds to the entire dish. The oil really makes the entire dish like what it is. And we know that oil is compared to what? To the secrets of Torah, of inner Torah specifically, where we take that inner wisdom, that inner Torah, and we bring it into our lives. Although we may learn it for small amounts of the day, but we throw it into our salads and our personal human salads, our recipes, and we throw in a couple of ideas of this and that of Hashem, so then it causes us to change and act a little bit differently than had we not learned, right? And that's this flow of Asher, Me'asher Shmena Lachmo, that fattiness is something that is received from a very high place, but yet it's very much permeates the lowly place that wherever a person is, it goes in it, and it's in every part of the dish, right? And it's in every part of us. So I want to just, you know, really bring this down to into a practical level for us. That during this month, Shvat, we, you know, we're living right now in confusing times, to say the least, in challenging times. But yet we await, right? Shenit baser psorotovot. We want to hear the good news. And that's Eliyahu Zachor Latov, Mevaser Tov. He's the one that Mevaser. He's going to give us the Bsorah, but it's going to go into our, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. Now I got it. It's going into my body. It's going into my, I hear it. I feel it. And on our microcosmic worlds, we have to also live Geula, also live redemption. And what does living redemption mean? It means living in this state as much as we can, and as much as we can be in this state of flow, of beingness, of being connected to our godly soul, connected to our abilities, connected to our vessel, which is our animal soul. Like how much of our, you know, what do we need, you know, that can help us? You know, who can help us? Like, who is the support? Like, what can we do to allow our vessel to now become more of a vessel for Hashem? Where we realize that we have, each and every one of us has a very important mission, because we're all here right now during this time, during this period. And we're here right now just like the stars are. Says that, you know, Abraham took, God took Abraham out into the sky. He says, look at the stars, so shall be your descendants, like the stars. And that's the idea of in the darkness, that we are all these stars that have the, we don't have a luxury anymore to like say, well, will I, you know, in 10 years, maybe in next year? It's like now we have to really just as much as step into who we are and what we are, because we're coming closer and closer to the Geula, right? To the redemption. And we're coming closer and closer. And the closer that we become, more that redemption, that redemptive being, that enlightened being that we can be, that we are already, because it's not a matter of us. It's a matter of allowing Hashem, and he is just flowing, to allow that flow to just to manifest there in our in our. We don't have to do much. Just like going back to the trees, like when we it's the month of the trees. It's the month where we look at the ecosystem, and we look at how everything in existence is being revitalized every single second. That the world is, that it seems like its own world is an illusion. That in truth, Einod Milvado, in truth, there's Hashem constantly recreating all of existence every single second. And this is true in physics, you know, where there is matter is not matter. That the creation is way beyond what we see and what we know. And we have to allow that, right? In a way that doesn't go beyond our minds, right? In a way that also goes a little beyond our minds, right? It doesn't, you know, it's not a time of being complacent, of being like, well, I'm only going to know. There's always an ability, always a for us to go a little bit beyond. You know, I'll just bring an analogy, and each and every one of you probably could find your own. But I personally like to go into cold bodies of water. Of Mayanot, especially.
No, nice in English. Cold bodies of
water. Yeah. What that does, it awakens me. You know, I just all of a sudden I'm like, oh. You know, you feel refreshed, you feel alive, right? You go into this, you go out of yourself. That's really the point. And it does, you know, for those who are not into going to cold bodies of water, there's plenty of other things that we can choose, right? To go a little bit beyond ourselves. You know, is it if it's something physical to even take upon ourselves to exercise on a certain level that's going to be healthy for us? If it's to learn to go beyond our limitation, if it's going beyond our limitation that we think to help someone else, right? Where can we go a little beyond ourselves and finding that flow, because that flow is there. It's like just dialing in that radio. It's like that. It's just going to get to the station, to the right station, but you have to go a little like that, a little like that. And then you hear your station, God's station, right? That's your station. And so, yeah, I'd like to bless us all. You know, we should all hear that beautiful station. That's the best station to hear. You know, we hear that station of, you know, Eliyahu Navi Zachor Latov, Eliyahu Navi Zachor Latov, Eliyahu Navi. That Eliyahu Navi is on the radio station, and hearing it. Any comments, questions? As long as there's no complaints.
I have a question, Rabbi.
Yes, ma'am.
You were saying about the similarity on the Sephira with Moshe and Yaakov. Is it like, since Moshe, like with the whole Torah, and that's why, I mean, he's associated with like the Da'at kind
yes,
of, and Yaakov
exactly.
is the Tiferet because he, you know, Abraham is the Chesed and Yitzhak is the Gvura. So it's just kind of.
Karen, you are learning. You're A-okay.
That's for because you're an A-okay teacher.
Thank you. Wow. That is the greatest compliment when you know it like that and you live it like that. God bless. That's the greatest satisfaction.
Thank you. I'm waiting for Mashiach here.
Amen. We're all with you. We're all with you, sister.
And Chodesh Tov to everyone. Thank you so much.
Chodesh Tov. Any comments, questions? Hopefully no complaints, so we're all good. All right, everyone. So wishing you a beautiful Shabbat, and I will have you in mind by the Baba Sali in prayers by his Hilula this Shabbat. And may we see, hear good news.
Yeah, hear good news. Rabbi, do you have a minute or do you have to go? Yes, okay. I listened to a program last night.